It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies feline with a death wish. E. Wright didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Big weekend, and it starts tonight. While what the Astros did earlier in the week means it's not do or die against the Mariners, like getting swept or losing two out of three against the Mariners doesn't mean the end of their chances to make the playoffs. They did good work against the Rangers. This is perfect. You've got a division that's tied. The Mariners won yesterday, so they tied it up. They come in here, and you have your best pitcher on the mound against arguably their best pitcher in Brian Wu. And let's lay it all out. Let's see how it goes. On its face, you have your best chance. You've got Hunter. You got Alexander. And, of course, Fromber's in the mix there as well. So on its face, you are putting your best foot forward. And you may, if we are to believe Dana Brown, be getting a bat back in the lineup. He has been, how do I put it? He has been cautiously optimistic in his words regarding Isak Paredes. Espada mentioned it as well, that Paredes could be back for the series. I don't like the fact that they said if he's out there, they're going to ask him not to run so hard on the base paths. Perhaps he's not ready to play. Particularly with the hamstring, hey, we don't need you to open it up. Look, he's not a running back who has to survive, so of course he can swing the bat. But in a series where runs may mean, like an individual run may mean a lot, if he's on second base because he hit a easy stand-up double, or, you know, he could have stretched a single into a double in a tight ball game, do I want a guy you are telling, hey, man, let's go at 45% to 50%. Is that good? Is that something you should... Are you protecting the player? Are you giving yourself the best chance to win if that is the directive?
One base at a time, Isak. One base at a time.
You know what? That's good if you're winning games 8-1.
Yeah, but, if we're confident on who's behind him is going to knock him in or hit a home run.
Hit a home run because he can't open it up.
Yeah.
So
Cal Raleigh's behind him.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, he will be behind
him. Yeah, as a catcher.
Yeah.
When he's up to at bat. So Paredes could be back, but he won't be at full strength, and the Astros want him to be very cautious. I don't want that to be a thing. If he cannot run, maybe we don't play him.
When do you want to pinch run for him? Like, at what point in the game is it like, should we just
pinch? If it's 3-2 in the fifth, do I pinch run for Paredes in a situation where you have a chance to score a run? Maybe. If this is the idea they're entering the games with and the series with, where we think if he tries to go at 100% run the bases, he's going to re-injure himself.
Is he just going to be swinging out of his shoes? Because that's what I would do. Yeah, if you tell me, like, you can play but you can't run, I'd be like, all right, I'm trying to trot around these bases.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of big cuts from Paredes if the goal is to not force him to overextend himself.
And really just having him in the lineup, especially when you lose Jordan, there is a value of just like, hey, this is just a, you know, all-star level, literally an all-star this year, level bat in the lineup that pitchers will have to respect because he can just yank one over the Crawford boxes. But at the same time, yeah, like he's going to be a limited version of himself. I wonder if instead of the swing out of your shoes approach, is it, hey, just work some counts, You're the only guy in this lineup that works counts. How about you just work some count, get the pitch count up high, and if they're going to get you out, make them throw seven pitches to do that.
Yeah, let's make Brian Wu work.
Yeah, and honestly, if he just does that, that's almost worth it, especially considering the alternatives of who would be, I mean, they wouldn't be the DH, but who would be in for Paredes.
So Brown said early in the week, Dana Brown said early in the week, that the idea would be to have him DH and then give him a day off.
Yeah.
And let him DH and then give him a day off. So we wouldn't see Paredes throughout the series if he does come back. Of course, it's only 10-15, so we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, we don't know if we'll see him today.
Yeah, we don't know when he'll be back, if he'll be back.
Yeah.
But the general manager and the manager has said it's a distinct possibility.
And really, if this wasn't the Mariners series,
they probably wouldn't play him. If it wasn't as important as it.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't play him, and I'd be more comfortable with the, like, it just, yeah, play him, sit him, whatever. Like, next week, if you want to bring someone on slowly as, like, a rehab assignment in Major League Baseball, the six games against the A's and the Angels, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see why you're just kind of, you know, like we're saying, in a close ball game, do you want to have a guy who's gimpy on the base pass? Well, if you're telling me that it's in Sacramento or Anaheim, every game has a lot less weight to it than essentially playing for the division this weekend.
Yeah, of course, if it's a series that one side wins 2-1, then the last six games of the season will be very important because you have not locked up anything as far as the division is concerned. Of course, the disaster scenario, or the best scenario, depending on which side you are on, is a sweep. Of course, if the Astros could sweep the Mariners, great. I don't foresee that, but who foresees a sweep when you're playing a good team? They got that done with the Rangers. If they can do that again, great.
Yeah.
And even still, while you'd be in a great position, you have a disaster of a time against the A's and the Angels, and all of a sudden Seattle is back in it. So this is not particularly specifically decisive, but it gives you a leg up.
Yeah.
If you can take the series. And of course, sweep was even better.
It is, I mean, for both these teams, like, and more so the Astros, I'd say, because of the six games are the two last place teams. But it does kind of put the destiny more in your hands, where if you win this series, you did not lock up the AL West, but you put yourself in a very good position because you have six games against the A's and the Angels.
Yeah, so 84-69, that is a record for both teams. So sometimes baseball can be a drag as far as the season. This is what we want.
Yeah, this is the first 151 games. That's practice.
Yeah.
Leading it all up to this.
Yes. The two teams at the top of the AL West. Of course, while you mentioned that the Astros have the Angels and the A's after this.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the Mariners?
The Mariners have the Rockies at home and then the Dodgers at home. So certainly if we're just going by, you know, if we combine the Rockies and the Dodgers.
That's like an average team.
Yeah. Yeah. So it weighs out to be above Angels and A's slightly, but the Rockies are atrocious. So I imagine that series being at home, the Mariners would at minimum take 2 out of 3. They would certainly look to sweep it, but that's 3 games in the future. But that's how the schedule closes out for those two teams.
We really need the Padres to catch the Dodgers, so they're running through the tape a little bit more.
Yeah,
they're currently 3 games up on the Dodgers are 3 games up on San Diego. And they're not really in a chase for a top 2 seed either. So it really is, for the Dodgers, just the NL West.
Yeah, we're going to need the Padres to do us a favor and make the Dodgers care.
Now, who do the Padres play? Oh, Padres play the White Sox and Brewers, yikes, and then D-backs.
Oh, look, all of a sudden the National League matters to us. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now we care about what's happening.
Yeah, I'm looking at who's the schedule of the second place team in the NLS.
Just to find any advantage we can to make sure the Astros win.
This is how far down the rabbit hole, because they're playing they're chasing the Dodgers, and Dodgers playing the Mariners, and the Mariners and the Astros.
Look, if the Astros are better.
I feel like Charlie Day.
In August and September, up until the Rangers series, we wouldn't have to have these conversations.
No.
We feel a lot better.
There's like three series that you're like, you know, if you just took care of business against these guys, like,
but they didn't. So here we are. But they have it all in front of them, and they got their best three going in name. Fromber, well, could you please, just please, let's end on a high note. At least your time pitching in Daikin on a high note. Because if you could do that, maybe we see you pitching Daikin at least one more time in the playoffs. So here we go. Hunter Brown on the mound tonight against Brian Wood. So it should be a good time. And it's good to have Hunter starting the series off. You can always expect a good performance, and when he doesn't have one, it's a really big surprise. So I expect him to be good out there. Astros with the advantage. We'll see if Paredes adds to that. As I said, no word on whether he'll play today. All right, we'll go to break with that. Certainly Texan sound to get to. We got a college football weekend to discuss as well. Michael Curl will join us at 11:30 to talk about what you should or shouldn't watch in TV and movies. There's a new show on Netflix with Jude Law and Jason Bateman, which I think I'm going to take a look at. It's another Jason Bateman, I Can't Believe I'm in This Crime Situation type show. I think we talked about it. Maybe I was talking to someone off air. I don't know if it'll have complete Ozark vibes because I think it's set in New York, but it's one of those things where unlikely person is in a really messed up situation because of someone they know. Jason Bateman in that. Maybe Michael Carroll will recommend or tell us not to watch it. I don't know what he thinks of it. And he also, I believe he saw another movie, at least I was mentioned. So maybe Michael Carroll has another screening to talk about as well.
Him, the new horror movie.
He saw the Jordan Peele produce. He didn't direct, but Jordan Peele produce horror movie about football.
Yeah. Football psychological horror.
Where you make a deal with the devil and you see the results. So Michael Carroll will let us know what he thinks of that. But we'll hear from the coordinators when we come back, particularly Nick Caley. A lot of talk of, he's still learning, and not from him, but just from the general discussion around his first two games. And there are things that he needs to improve on. I don't like room for improvement with my OC, particularly when you're 0-2. You're not really in a spot where you can work through some things when you're desperate for a win, but that's where they are. So we'll hear from him when we come back. But first, I'm going to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. There really isn't any room for improvement. They're really great at what they do, but they're always trying. They're always striving to make sure the car buying experience is something that's great for you. Not just good, but great to match the cars you have access to. Go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out all the offers they have going right now. It is truck month. It ends later this month, September 30th. So if you're looking for a Silverado 1500, Monument Chevrolet is the place to go for that. They have that 72-month, 2.9% APR. On those trucks. And of course, if you're looking for something maybe electric like an EV Blazer, they have those for you too, where you get that, potentially you get a chance for a $7,500 federal tax credit on an EV Blazer. So like I said, offers everywhere on the vehicles out there. That's their new inventory. If you're looking for something pre-owned, they have those for you too, a wide selection of vehicles. And of course, if you have a business that you're either jump-starting or you need to add a vehicle to it, they have a wide selection of cars for your potential fleet. So it's all out there for you. And once you see the car you want, just head on to Pasadena. Head on out there to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Once you get there, you're going to be able to meet the great people, whether it be a salesperson or people in the finance department. They're all there for you to get you into the best vehicle at the best price and in as quick, as fashion as they can. So they'll get you set up. They'll get you squared away, and you'll be good to go at Monument Chevrolet. So monumentchevrolet.com. Then head on out there in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, you should remember this. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we were going to hear from the Texas coordinators until Sean alerted me to something that we have to get to. Now, with no Astros last night, I'm sure a lot of you who wanted to watch some sports tuned in to the Thursday night football game between the Dolphins and the Bills, a game that was probably more competitive than the internet suspected would be. I know they eventually got their piece of flesh because Tua threw the pick, but it was getting a little shaky for everyone in their takes when at least going in, it was going to be about the Dolphins being a disaster and who's getting fired. But when you take the Bills to the fourth quarter and it's 21-21, that can't really be the storyline because they were competitive. But Tua gave them their chum by throwing that pick, so people got their takes off with him. After watching the game, I didn't think either quarterback particularly changed the way I thought about the game of football, but I'm not Mike Greenberg. Here's Mike Greenberg on how he saw Josh Allen last night.
I'm mad at myself that we spent 9 minutes and 17 seconds and I didn't say this yet. I'm watching the game last night. I've been watching this sport 50 years. And I'm just a fan. I'm just a reporter, whatever the case is. No one has ever played that position better than Josh Allen plays it. He's not the greatest player ever.
Bart!
No, you tell me who has played that position better than he plays it.
Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert right now is cooking. What are we talking about, Greeny?
I'm not saying he's better than them. I'm saying okay. You can't be better than Josh Allen is. Josh Allen does everything. His command of what he's doing in the game
so
right now is ridiculous.
Wait.
He just hasn't won anything. If he had won anything, we'd be talking about him with literally the best quarterbacks that ever played.
Enough.
I totally agree.
Enough
if you go back to the start of the
particularly you, Tannenbaum. I don't hear from you either.
I just wanted to wait to the Tannenbaum. I totally agree. couldn't wait to totally agree with this insane thing.
There's nothing wrong with saying Josh Allen is a great player. There's nothing wrong with it. Even
one of the best in the league.
Even my hating asses will acknowledge that. But my hate goes beyond just him being a quarterback of a team. We've documented that on the show. That's fine. You can say he's one of the best. You want to say he's a top two quarterback, but the best, no one's ever played the position better, ever? What about, look, I know he's talking about him in totality, not just about what happened last night, because he couldn't have used what happened last night as a reason to have that thought.
One pass past 10 yards.
Ridiculous. It was a game that when people online put the videos up, we used to watch gods play the sport, and it's watching quarterbacks throw the ball down the field. This would be the prime example of making that tweet.
He played like Alex Smith last night.
Yeah, that's what he did. And sure, won the game efficient, didn't turn the ball over. Kudos. Had a big run after a holding call to turn 1st and 20 to 2nd and 1. Yeah, super talented dude. He's not the best guy to ever play the position. He doesn't play he doesn't play the position the best. I don't know what he's talking about. Josh Allen is a great player, but what are we doing? Maybe I'm so offended by it because my brain doesn't work that way. I wouldn't ever just watch a game and just pause and go, you know what? This guy's playing it the best that's ever been played. It wouldn't cross my mind to ever say that. While Tom Brady was doing what he was doing, it didn't ever cross my mind to think that way because I'm just in the moment of watching the game. So it's just not how my brain works, but Josh Allen has not played the position the best has ever been played. Cut it out. He's a great player. It's okay to just say he's a great player. He's a great player and leave it at that. Wasn't even the best quarterback last year, but the narrative said it's time for him to win an MVP. And Bart Scott chimed in with Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't credit to Bart Scott for not saying they're playing the position the best has ever been played.
Yeah, he just said better right now.
Right now. And it's fine to have a differing opinion on that. But to think over the course of history, watching Josh Allen
something years
the last couple of years and say he's playing quarterback the best ever. I don't know that Mike Greenberg is a reporter either. I took offense to that too. He might have been a reporter in the past.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
Yeah, but he's not now. You're just a commentator. And that's what a commentator says. Because you know what a reporter does? They actually do some research and figure some things out about who's playing quarterback great. He's not. He's great. He's a great player. He's not playing at the best he's ever been played and seen. That's all. It's ridiculous. So cut it out, man. Greeny.
I also
know he's a fan of the Jets, so any competent quarterback play is going to freak him out a little bit.
Which?
Yeah. Let's see if he floats. We'll drown him, and if he survives, he's a witch. And if he does drown, then he's not a witch, but he's dead anyway. So there it is. Appreciate you, Greeny. Yes, Josh Allen, great player. And that's fine to be said.
Like he said, I can't believe we went 9 minutes and however many seconds in get up without saying that, without playing that. I couldn't let us get Well, not actually 30 minutes into the show, but like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes into the show without acknowledging that was said this morning.
It's silly. But a lot of silly things are said because you got to be more of a take factory than someone who has a somewhat well thought out opinion. And I'm not putting myself in the well thought out opinion category. I just don't see myself as the take factory. He will just say that and get it out there because my train of thought is wonky. We'll get to the Texans when we come back. Something that actually matters to us as they try to avoid going 0-3. Man, I've said it a couple times, but I can't believe this is where we are. We could have an 0-3 football team when we come back on Monday. That'll be tough.
And it'll be rocket season real fast if they're 0-3.
Yeah, it's training camps right around the corner. And if they're 0-3, start to take a look at the Rockets previews, I guess, at that point. Look, that's kind of tough to do with 14 more games to go. But if you don't stand up and beat the Jags on Sunday, what is this season? What is this team? What are they actually capable of if they can't find a way to win? Like, it's not the challenge the Dolphins face going into Buffalo against the quarterback who's playing it the best ever. It wasn't that. You got Trevor Lawrence on the other side and a receiver who doesn't want to take hits from him. It's time to make a move, and it starts on Sunday. So we'll hear from the coordinators. We'll also hear from you guys. Gary, you want to talk about Josh Allen? Anyone else want to get in and talk about quarterback play or anything else? We will certainly bring you in. 713-780-3776. Sean and I, until noon. We'll be back, but first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And like we said, you just watched the best quarterback of all time play last night. Or no one has played better than the guy who played last night. And, you know, maybe if you put some squares on him, you would be saying something a little bit differently. Especially if you were interested in his rushing yards, only 25 rushing yards. I could have used a little bit more. Personally, myself, obviously, Mike Greenberg doesn't feel the same way. But, hey, listen, there's going to be football on all weekend. And these guys, according to Mike Greenberg, are nowhere close to as good as Josh Allen. And for the most part, he is right. But you can still make a little money off these quarterbacks when you're playing on Prize Picks this weekend. Are you looking for college games? Are you looking maybe at a shootout early in the day on Saturday again with TCU and SMU? Kevin Jennings, more than 271.5 passing yards. Are you looking maybe for some Josh Hoover action, more than 320.5 passing yards? Or, again, another early game, Brendan Lewis, Memphis quarterback, going up against Arkansas. This game is going to mean a lot more for Memphis than it does for Arkansas. And guess what? It's being played in Arkansas or in Memphis. So I think he can go for more than 220.5 passing yards. There's also, of course, some Sunday action you can get involved with as well, including the Texans. We talked about them playing for their season in Jacksonville. Maybe you think this is the day that the offense breaks out and you have C.J. Stroud throwing for more than 220.5 passing yards, or you think it's going to be less, or less on Nick Chubb, 50.5 rushing yards, whatever you want. You can make some money. Use your knowledge, your ball-knowing knowledge, because you listen to ESPN 97.5. Put it to the test and make a little bit of money on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Get to a couple calls here. Let's get to Gary. He loves the quarterback discussion. He wants to talk about Josh Allen. What's up, Gary?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Josh, not even close. In today's society, when we got computers and AI and Facebook and TikTok and things like that, I mean, you can call BS on people such as him for making idiotic statements like that. But in the old days, whoever told the narrative – got the goal. And so back then, maybe 10, 15 years ago, if he'd made that statement, people would buy that. But now people look at him like that's idiotic. And it goes along with the lines of Dan Orlovsky yesterday. I called in, but I had to go. Dan Orlovsky was talking about the athletic quarterback in college that they all look to the side and they get their plays and what have you. And that's why they haven't evolved. They look to the side, get the sign from the coach, come back, and so they're not pre-reading the offense or what have you. But they were, and he said it, the likes of like the Baker Mayfield, he has grown. He didn't benefit from that. They did that when Baker was there. They've been doing that for the last 10 or 15 years where everybody stands up, looks right or looks left, even the defense. Everybody takes their cues from that. But for him, Dan Orlovsky to talk about the athletic quarterback not being able to process, those are his favorite words. And here is Josh Allen, who's athletic and gets rewarded for the running touchdowns, but he's not considered a running quarterback when Lamar and Jalen and all those. It's just asinine how they take that stance over and over and over. And they think we're buying into that, but we see through that. Josh Allen is not even close of his history. All right.
Thank you, Gary. As I said, Gary loves the quarterback conversation. I don't hear the words of Dan Orlovsky because while he's working, I'm working. And certainly the only reason I heard the Mike Greenberg thing is because Sean grabbed it. So I don't know his consistent views on quarterbacks, either one of their views. Look, Mike Greenberg is a commentator, much like us. Take our opinions for what they are. They're just opinions. I mean, he said something. I'm going to disagree. A lot of people will. And that's all it is. He's just out there on television saying things for, as Dan Lanning would say, for clicks and not for wins. He's out there. That's fine. He thinks that way. Or he just said it because it's something to talk about on the show. Either way, it was ridiculous to say. Josh Allen's a great player. But as far as historically speaking, you're going to find plenty of quarterbacks who have played the position better. He plays it in a different way than a lot of people. He wins in a different way than a lot of people because we have our own quarterback in town who cannot win the way he cannot win games the way Josh Allen does.
I mean, Tua said it. I think I forgot if it was before the game.
It was before the game
where he was like, he does stuff that I can't do half of it. You know, and that is true for a lot of guys, but. There's a difference between being able to do a bunch of things and actually fulfilling on the promise and actually being able to do all of those things. Because, like you said, I mean, like this, Tom Brady's on a different planet than a lot of these guys. Dan Marino, Joe Montana, like these guys weren't the most physically gifted guys. That it's not about all the things you can do. It's how many things you actually do. And so, yeah, that's another reason why the Josh Allen. I mean, threw for 213 yards. Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, even if he thought that was true.
Why would you say it after last night?
Why would last night's game be the one that got you there?
You're 2 weeks late. Should have said that after Sunday Night Football after week one.
Yeah, where the other quarterback in the game in that, you know, that MVP duel was pretty good himself, to be honest. But Derrick Henry, if not for the fumble, would have been the star of that game anyway. Ironically, it was a running back who was probably the best player in that game until he fumbled the football. All right. It's one man's opinion. So be it. Let's get to Pena here before we get to some text and stuff. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what up, Dale? Hey, so I got some over-unders for you. These two quarterbacks have not been good this year. How do you like DJ Lagway for 223.5? Under that, and Arch Manning for 260.5 against Sam Houston. Have a great day.
Ooh, two of the more disappointing quarterbacks in football this year.
He's going less on both of those.
I would,
from the sound. The thing with Arch is that it's like they are playing Sam Houston, and they can break like a big one, like they did against San Jose State, where it's like they had three big plays.
As far as DJ Lagway, of course, he's coming off the 5-interception game. He has not looked good on the road, at night, big environment, just like probably won't be as hellish as Death Valley.
Asylum?
Yes.
Perhaps?
Maybe an asylum. That is what Mario Cristobal wants that place to be as they welcome the Gators That Miami defense appears to be improved. I mean, the only real test is the Notre Dame game. I mean, USF is an inconsistent but explosive team, and Miami held them to the 12 points that they did. I think Lagway is going under, mostly because I think, at least I believe, Billy Napier has learned his lesson, and he'll lean on his running game more. Of course, if it gets out of hand, that doesn't really mean that DJ Lagway would throw for a lot of yards. He could just be throwing the ball to the other team. I don't think he gets to what was he, 265, or was that Arch's number?
Yeah, that was Arch. I think it was 225 or 220. There's probably
a
difference.
Yeah, there'd be a major difference depending on the yardage. But Payne, I would go under on Lagway specifically if it's in that 260 range. I think the Gators stay in that game are gonna have to run the ball quite a bit. And unless Lagway is going to show something he has not shown all year, that number seems high for him in that passing offense on the road. And you take into account how Mario Cristobal likes to play offense against a team, a competitive team, or at least he perceives Florida to be a competitive team. I don't know how many possessions Florida is going to get because Miami's going to run the ball quite a bit too. If we remember the Notre Dame game in that second half after taking a 21-7 lead, he ran the ball on first down quite a bit. And now that led to three and outs until the final drive of that game. But yeah, I'm not going with Lagway. Because if you look at Lagway's numbers over the course of the first three games, and we're throwing in the likes of Long Island and USF, who the Canes picked apart. If you go by, I'm just going by his game log this year. 287 against LSU because he had to throw the ball a lot. 222 against USF and 120. He was efficient, but only 120 against Long Island. I would bet the under on that. And Arch, as Sean said, the problem is they're playing an outmatched opponent. So he could throw a screen, and that can go for 65.
Yeah, like, again, against San Jose, he wasn't down-to-down very good, but he also had an 85-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Texas, no matter how poorly Arch is throwing the football, are going to just have dudes who can go make a play if you get the ball in their hands. All right, let's get to Saul, and then we'll get to Josh Allen. Maybe it's Saul, however you like me to pronounce that. What's up?
Hello. This is going to be really quick. In my honest opinion, I think I'd rather watch Josh Allen play over Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. That's in my opinion. That's it.
Yeah, that's preference. I mean, whether Greeny enjoys, and this is how this all started, whether Greenberg enjoys how Josh Allen plays and maybe prefers it more, that's one thing. But the proclamation of how he played the position is, while it can be subjective, I will say it's an objective fact that he does not play the position better than it's ever been played before. I don't know that Josh Allen is all that. At least last night he wasn't all that entertaining. I'm trying to think if he plays a style of football that's totally different from Lamar Jackson. Lamar, his running game is more designed.
And it's more speed, whereas Josh Allen's power. More power.
Yeah, Josh Allen will have designed runs on third and short and stuff. But as far as we're just going to use Lamar as an extra option in the run game, Josh Allen doesn't do that much unless it's called for on third and short. Then he becomes a real weapon. And, of course, around the goal line. I don't have a giant preference as far as play style. I would say Lamar Jackson hasn't caused me as much misery, so I enjoy watching him play more.
Yeah, generally, I like watching him.
Yeah.
Because he does it against my team less.
Yes.
He does it against my team all the time.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah, he looks amazing against my team.
Yeah, against the Texans when he gets to play them.
Same thing with Derrick Henry. Whether he's a Raven or a Titan, that guy's one of the best of all time as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the Texans will get a taste of that again, as is the case when you have a first-place schedule. I appreciate the call. I can acknowledge he's a great player, but I don't need to go further beyond that when it comes to Josh Allen. All right. I keep saying we'll get to the Texans, but hey, you guys, you know the deal. You call, we'll get to you first. All right, we'll hear from Nick Haley when we come back. He doesn't have a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson, so he's got as defined, C.J. Stroud is a pocket passer. So how does Nick Haley get this offense going when he doesn't have a superhuman in his arsenal? We'll hear from him on those things when we come back. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We had a plumber on for our game with John and Lance, Beat the Warehouse Live guy, Mark. Hopefully Mark does well and gets those free tickets. But when you need a great plumber and one that's going to do the job right every time, you go to the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just call them or go to the website. The website is aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and you can call them at 281-488-6238. Simply put, they have a wide range of things they do, and you can check that out. They have a nice drop-down service menu on the website, services menu on the website, and they'll tell you what they do, whether it's something to do with the fixture, or maybe you need a big-time remodel job, or maybe it's new construction. They have it there for you. Big thing they do is that repiping, particularly for older homes. Those pipes erode. They turn your what was once clean water into dirty, stinky, smelly water. And, you know, when you turn on the tap, you expect the water to come out clean. That is something we just assume. That's not always the case. Make sure your pipes are good to go. Have Aqueduct Plumbing Company check them out if you sense any problems. You want to be preventative. You don't want to be reactionary and turn a small problem into a giant one. So go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com, see what they have to offer, see what you can get fixed, and they'll take care of it for you, because Billy Brown, the people there, are great at what they do. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
For those of you like Eric who love to save their Friday call until 11:30, Michael Carroll will be here. He is the host of Comicast. He'll let us know what you should or shouldn't watch. He went and saw Him, the movie produced by Jordan Peele. Marlon Wayans plays a quarterback who made a deal with the devil. We'll hear Michael's take on that when he joins us. But let's get to a quarterback who, you know what, I know he wouldn't because he's a God-fearing man, but maybe a little help would be needed for Sunday. Maybe not from the devil, but from someone else. Maybe the man upstairs has the Texans in his sights on Sunday. They got the Jags. The guy who's going to be coordinating the offense is Nick Caley. And let's just say, despite all the offseason platitudes, the praise he was getting, it hasn't been great. When your quarterback, and it's only two games, is only throwing one touchdown, and you scored two touchdowns overall, and one, it's kind of questionable if the Bucs let you score that touchdown. The Bucs were very cagey on that when asked from the Tampa media asked them, did you let Nick Chubb score? They're like, we're not going to tell you.
I definitely would be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. They didn't even do that.
I didn't miss an assignment.
Well, maybe Todd Bowles is one of those dudes who says, I won't respect the game.
Yeah.
Disrespect the game.
Yeah.
And if I do, I'm not going to tell you. So maybe they scored one touchdown legitimately. We'll just give them two because we can't prove that.
Yeah. Beyond a reasonable doubt.
We cannot prove that Nick Chubb touchdown was given to them by the Bucs. So two offensive touchdowns in two games. Not great. There was a opportunity for another, but there was a disaster at the goal line. So let's hear from Nick Caley on that scenario. If you remember, it was the Nico Collins slant to about the one-yard line. Then you had the stop by Vita Vea, and then a pass that C.J. Stroud missed where it looked like Nico was open in the corner of the end zone on third and goal, where he beat the corner with the double move, and then we saw where they rolled out to the left, and CJ just threw it out of bounds. So it was not great. Here is Nick Caley on that sequence.
Down there, we ran the ball, obviously stuck in a run, you know, didn't really gain much on it at all. Then you get into a third down situation, you know, and at that point have a lot of confidence in the guys that we have on the team. So called a red zone, low red zone play that we have a lot of belief in, and it didn't work out. You know, again, our process, I feel confident in the process. Gets to fourth down, same thing, call a low red zone, third down, call it third and fourth down play. Didn't work out the way we want it. So, again, got to assess those things and move on and learn from it. And, you know, just I can do better. We all can do better. So moving forward and trying to grow.
Sorry, I was asked if I was on air by one of our colleagues, I would say. I mean, they don't work specifically with us, but they work in the building. She asked me if I was on air. I am. Now I'm waving. So was Nick Caley just asked to tell us what plays he ran? Because he didn't give an explanation for why he ran the plays.
No,
was
he did.
Was the question just, hey, can you repeat what plays you ran because I don't remember?
Yeah, he did the coach, you know, just stretch it out, take up as much time. If I talk for 37 seconds,
I'll wear you down.
People will be like, okay, that was an answer somewhere in there.
There was no answer unless the reporter just forgot what plays were run and he wanted a refresher.
No, it probably was like, what happened at the goal line? And he was like,
I'll tell you what happened. Coach, can you give me your mindset on why you went away from the run? I don't know if the question was asked that way. That might have gotten a more specific answer why they went to the pass.
I mean, I would have been like, do you see us running the ball?
And that's fine, but I'd like to get that answer opposed to a rundown. I did that rundown of the plays, and then he gave it to me again. And I was even more specific.
Yeah. No, I would have preferred. I would prefer to Brian Kelly. Like, the hell is that? Although he can't do the after a win
because he didn't win. So
yeah. Maybe he can't do the Brian
Nick Kelly.
Kelly
can't be in a position to be where he's offended. But you would dare to ask him about
what the hell is that?
Yeah, when they won a big
game. I love in that exchange. I'm assuming Baton Rouge reporter just was like, all right, then how about this? Why can't you run the ball? Like, he just like doubled down. It was like all the stuff that we say, like, wow, we would ask questions even though we know we wouldn't.
Yeah, but there's some guy who does.
And they 10 toes down.
There's some guy who would ask a question that way. So that was your OC telling you
that
the things you saw for yourself.
Yeah, they couldn't score on the goal line. Cool. Well, really, like, a more accurate pass on the – was that the – no, third down.
Third goal. Third and goal, yeah.
Third and goal. Like, that play, for the most part, worked.
He was open.
Collins was NFL open.
He was NFL open, and your quarterback, who has to win by being accurate, simply missed.
Yeah, it was more to the back line as opposed to the pylon. If it's on the pylon, he probably gets
it. Yeah, that's a throw the quarterback has to make. Yeah. And if he doesn't make it, when his skill set lends to that, then you're getting the two touchdowns over two games because he's not at his best. But thank you, Nick Caley. For the less than specific rundown of what happened. I would like more, but that's what he gave us. That's what he was allowed to give us, and that's fine, I guess. All I really care about is a better offensive effort on Sunday against the Jags. A Jags team who has a couple pass rushers. We saw with the Bucs, they only really have one, although Greg Gaines sacked C.J. Stroud because he beat up, I forgot which lineman he got by, but legitimate pass rushers, the Bucs have Haason Reddick. The challenge is even bigger than what they saw against Tampa when you have the two that the Jags have, and certainly Trevon Walker, who will always be known for the guy that the Jags shouldn't have taken because Aiden Hutchinson was on there, but Trevon Walker's been a good player for them. He has one sack against the Bengals, but he's been a pretty good player for them. He's just overshadowed by Hutchinson. And then, of course, you have Josh Hines-Allen, got that right this week finally, as the other one. So the tackles are going to have to be good to go.
Yeah, it's something that is it's going to be a challenge, a lot like how week one was a challenge, where it was Verse and Young out there for the Rams. Now you get this pass rush duo. And like you said, Hines-Allen is, I guess, a little bit bigger of a name. I've just been in the league a little bit longer than Trevon Walker, and Trevon Walker obviously overshadowed by the number two pick, but it's pretty close. Like, it's not,
he's had a good
it's not like
so far.
As big of a blow, and part of that is because Hutchinson broke his leg last year.
He wasn't well on his way to maybe winning DPOY.
Yeah, we'll see how he responds, but Walker, to me, has not been as good as Hutchinson, but it hasn't been a miss.
And, you know, they got Eric Armstead there, too, so they've got, they got some dogs on that front that Texans are going to have to deal with, so the challenges don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Every week they're going to come into this offensive line. Is going to come into a game, we're going to talk about how much better the defensive line is, because chances are, unless there's massive injuries, like, I can give you a preview of the Titans game. Well, got Jeff Simmons over there. Got Tavondre Sweat. Like, it's going to be every week where we can sit there and go, oh, you know, when they play the Niners, oh, got Nick Bosa.
So will we see more of the quick passing game when we when you have Christian Kirk back?
Yeah.
So
I hope I you know that wasn't a yeah like yes I talked to Nick yes but
we hope
I believe so. I would hope so. If not, then we can have some but an uncomfortable conversation as Emmanuel Acho would say about the Nick Haley situation. Now it wouldn't be uncomfortable for me or you. Maybe it's more uncomfortable for Nick Haley.
Can I ask you one thing?
About uncomfortable questions? Is no. It going to be an uncomfortable question? Okay.
It depends on how you respond or how you feel okay. about this. Could I ask you never to invoke the Acho name again on this show? Can I get that from you? Unless
Sam,
I bring
Sam
up,
Acho?
Sam's fine.
Okay.
Unless
I talk about 2008 Texas?
I said Sam's okay. fine. As unless I bring it up, I don't like the Acho thing. Yeah.
All right.
Mostly because I feel like he's performative, and I don't like that type of action.
You think?
That's all. I can't say that I know because okay. I don't know him. But
he seems to exhibit the qualities that someone who is performative.
Yes, and much like Mike Greenberg, I think he may be the best at it that's ever been done, ever been. When it comes to performative takes, that's what I think about. What that Acho is on. I like a Sam Acho. He just shows up on college Saturdays, college football Saturdays, giving a little talk here
at the
and there.
Desk on like the ESPN game. Yeah. Come on.
Hey, look at him. Just being normal. He's a normal brother, I'd say, when it comes to sports takes. All right.
Why don't you be more like your brother, Manuel?
Yeah. That's all I'm asking for. A little less of you, I think, is what I'm saying. All right. We'll go to a break with that. And we will come back and hear more from Nick Haley because he was, I won't say under fire, but he was the man of the hour yesterday after practice because people wanted answers. And much like what he gave before, he didn't really give answers, but at least he was open to the questions. So we will get to him on trying to be less predictable because the numbers we read earlier in the week show that the Texans aren't really using motion, aren't really using play action. And when you don't do those two things, people can look at you and say, you're being predictable. We'll hear Nick Haley's thoughts on that when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.